The sounds of the 70s, jazz, on a one-night stand with the big band. Good evening, everyone. That's the alto saxophone of Charles McPherson, our special guest on tonight's one-night stand with the big bands. This is Arnold Dean, and our program from now till 10 will be brought to you by Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer, now in their 28th year of continuing excellence in sales and service, and by the East Hartford Lions Club, presenting the great Tommy Dorsey Band on June 14th at Founders Plaza in East Hartford. Charles McPherson and his group opening our program with What's Going On. Special guest Charles McPherson featured on alto sax with his group, Barry Harris and Nico Bunick on piano, Carl Lynch electric guitar, Lonnie Hilliard trumpet, Ron Carter bass, Gene Bertoncini electric guitar, and Leroy Williams the drummer. It's kind of a departure for us on a one-night stand. Normally we play those great sounds of the great big band era, but for this month only we thought we'd update things to the sounds of the 70s and the sounds of some great jazz. I think you'll enjoy Charles, and you'll meet him in just 1 minute. The name Mercury itself stands for quality, beauty, and automotive excellence. It has for many years. But the name can mean even more when you put Moriarty Brothers behind it. Moriarty has been a leading Lincoln Mercury dealer for many years. They know that the dealer is as important as the car. So, when you buy a Mercury from Moriarty, you know you're getting all that Mercury has to offer, plus the service you want and need, and a reputation for reliability you can believe in. Stop in at Moriarty Brothers soon and see the complete 1975 Mercury line, the luxuriously rich Marquis Brougham, the equally beautiful Marquis, the Monterey, the incredibly sleek Montego. I have one of those coming. And the all-new addition to the Mercury line, the Mercury Monarch. What a great little car that is. Sensational visibility. They're all at Moriarty Brothers. Every model, every color, every price range. Whether you want small car convenience, medium car pricing, or big car comfort, Moriarty has it, so visit them soon and see all that's new and exciting for 75 from Lincoln Mercury. That's Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer. And now let's meet Charles McPherson. We had him on our Dean's List program about a month ago. And Charles, it's nice to have you back here at a time when we can talk a bit more. So let's, since we have time, begin right at the beginning, which I understand was Joplin, Missouri, July 24th, 1939.
That's right, yeah. It's a long time ago. Huh?
You've held up awfully well, I was going to say. Musicians, you know, that's supposed to be a tough life and so on.
Yeah, well, actually, it is that, but playing music, you have a way of letting off steam, so maybe that helps, you know.
Are you getting plenty of work nowadays?
Well, not as much as I would like, but, you know, I'm making it, you know. It's never, you know, it's always not enough, you know. I would really like to work 6 nights a week at least.
You enjoy playing?
Yeah. I mean, just for, not just as a matter of economics, but just for my own pleasure, you know.
Is that a fact, no matter who you're playing with, or if you're with the wrong gang, can it kind of be a drag?
Oh, it can be a drag, yeah. If the chemistry is not mixing,
yeah,
you know,
is it just the chemistry or is it musical?
Well, actually, it's really, you know, you can actually think about it in terms of personality, you know, strangely enough, because actually, music or your playing of music is just an extension of you, you know, it's just another avenue of expression, and usually, if you have a group of guys that really get along well together, as human beings. You know, and personality types, mm-hmm. You know. Usually the music that's produced from these people are, you know, really good music. Because the playing music, you have to play together. It's like teamwork, you know. And you have to have a rapport with each other, you know. And that's what makes it all right.
Have you ever played with all-star groups? I hear them on record, and I'm sure you at one time or another have encountered one of these.
Yes.
And
yes,
I get the feeling that the chemistry is lacking there because it's too many dominant personalities.
Right. Quite often it happens that way. You get a bunch of guys together and you would say, oh, this is really going to be like beautiful music made tonight.
Because they're super named.
Right. Yeah. And then sometimes it doesn't work that way. You know?
It comes out every man for himself.
Right. That's right.
There's no melding.
Right.
Why did Charles McPherson pick alto saxophone to begin a musical career on?
Well, you know, I always liked the sound of the horn. You know, as a very young kid, I had occasion to, you know, listen to bands that would come through Joplin, Missouri, and they would play in the parks. And I was just kind of fascinated with the saxophone, not just the physical appearance, but the sound also. And just kind of always wanted one, you know. I have to admit that I did want a tenor as opposed to an alto, you know, because it was bigger, you know, more of it.
Yeah.
Right? But my mother bought me a horn when I was about 12, 13 years old. And tenors cost more money, you know, more metal, more money. So I had to settle for an alto. But I really like that better now, you know. I'm glad I chose the alto.
We're going to listen to a little bit of what Charles McPherson does with alto saxophone, and then we'll get back to the story of his life and how he came to be such a well-known jazz figure. We've given you several albums from which to select here. What have you picked to go with first, Charles?
Charisma.
We'll hear that in just a moment. Getting Sentimental Over You. The theme song of the Tommy Dorsey Band, one of the greatest, certainly the most versatile big bands of the 30s and 40s. On Saturday, June 14th, the Tommy Dorsey Band, led by trombonist Murray McEachern, will bring back the nostalgia of three decades when they play for dancing pleasure at Founders Plaza in East Hartford. It's the East Hartford Lions Club Charity Ball, presented this year in cooperation with the East Hartford Bicentennial Commission, to celebrate the era of the 40s in the bicentennial year. You'll dance and reminisce to the real Dorsey music. Sleepy Lagoon, I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, Opus 1. The guest MC will be yours truly, Arnold Dean. It'll be a pleasure to be there, too, and I'm really looking forward to it. The fun starts at 8 p.m. with a champagne hour. Dancing begins at 9. Tickets are $20 a couple. Singles are invited, too. Group tables are available. For reservations, write to the Lions Club Charity Ball, Box 131, East Hartford, Connecticut, 06108. Or you may call, if you prefer, 289-7032. And we'll repeat both the address and the telephone number a little bit later in the program.
Thank you.
it's called Charisma, and I think it's a bit of music that has plenty of it, too. Who are some of the people on that album with you, Charles?
Let's see. Well, there's Chris Woods. He's playing baritone sax and flute. Young trombonist named Garnett Brown. Richard Williams on trumpet and flugelhorn. Of course, the veteran Frank West on flute and tenor sax. He was formerly with Count Basie and many others. And then Barry Harris on piano. And incidentally, Barry was a mentor of mine. You know, I really learned a lot about music from him. I was fortunate enough in that he lived in the same neighborhood as I.
That was in Detroit.
In Detroit, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I learned about harmony theory and about the piano and certain things like that from him. And he's on that date. And of course, Ernie Wilkins arranged.
Charles, I want to talk more about Barry Harris, your mentor, in just a moment. First, may I remind everyone about Moriarty Brothers of Manchester. You know, they have a classic car, specially designed for 75, without compromising on luxury and performance, the Mercury Monarch. The Monarch is built for economical gas mileage, yet it's engineered to provide you with smooth, quiet riding that a larger car offers. The precision-sized Monarch 4-door is over a foot shorter than last year's average mid-sized car, helping you to maneuver through tangled traffic and around tight corners. Best of all, this 75 Monarch has more headroom front and rear, it accommodates 5 adults comfortably, and has enough trunk space for 7 pieces of family luggage plus a golf bag with room to spare. The 75 Mercury Monarch is built for people of every size, as long as they want precision, economy, and the luxury of a smooth ride. You'll find the 75 Mercury Monarch at Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer. Moriarty Brothers, a tradition in service and selection. We're talking with Charles McPherson here on A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands. And Charles, you mentioned the great Barry Harris, who's accompanied you so much over the years. Now, by the time you met him back in Detroit, you'd already been playing alto for 2 or 3 years.
Let's see, maybe 2 years.
And how much formal training had you had?
Well, I played in the junior high school band, and then I did study privately for maybe 6 months from a very, very good teacher in Detroit named Larry Teal. And then I met Barry at about 15, and as I said before, geographically I was lucky because he was in the neighborhood. And I started, going over to his house, and he started showing me, about harmony, about chord changes, scales, and things like that, things I knew nothing about, you know. And from there, at about 17 or 18, I started working in the Detroit area. And eventually came to New York.
As a young and budding alto saxophonist, you mentioned before on our program that we did about a month ago before the Quinnipiac Jazz Festival, you mentioned the accessibility of records nowadays, how it's a little easier now than it used to be to wait for those Duke Ellington records to come out, and particularly people like Johnny Hodges, whom I know you admire, and Charlie Parker and the other people who were influential. Mm-hmm. Who would you say had the greatest influence on a young Charles McPherson?
Oh, I would say Charlie Parker. The greatest single influence, you know, especially my earlier years, you know. However, since then, I've really broadened in that I listen to all kind of records, and I'm influenced by a lot of different people, you know.
For different reasons, too,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, right, that's right. You know, as you become more mature, hopefully, you broaden somewhat, you know. You learn to decipher the good from the bad, and you just kind of get a broader dimension, you know. So, actually, I listen to as many classical records as I do jazz records, maybe even more, you know.
Although you never, or very seldom, get to hear saxophone used in those classical
recordings.
Yeah, that's
recording. True, right, except some of the modern composers use it, you know. But, I really like to listen to violins. I like your symphony orchestra, you know. And I love Bartok, you know. In fact, that's who in the last couple of years, I've really been listening to him, you know. And
I read in one of your biographies that you listened a lot to Jimmy Dorsey in your young and formative years as well.
That's right.
Jimmy, I never thought, had a particularly good tone, but his technique was...
He had good technique.
Yeah.
His tone was good enough, you know.
I think it was unique. That was one outstanding thing about it. He sounded completely different from other alto players.
Right, and he had a kind of a different way of phrasing, too. You know, he was sort of slick. You know, he had a real nice way of, lilting way of phrasing, you know. And then I listened to Johnny Hodges, of course. In fact, I knew about these people before I knew about Charlie Parker. I didn't really get turned on to Charlie Parker until maybe early 50s, you know. Some guy said, hey, you got to hear this guy, Charlie Parker.
Yeah.
I said, oh, yeah, okay. And I think one of the first records I heard by Bird was some of the things he did with Norman Grant's South of the Border series there, you know, Tico Tico and Fiesta and things like that. And
what was there about Charlie Parker, if I may ask, that set him aside from other great gifted musicians like, you know, Willie Smith, who was a great lead alto man, and Jimmy Dorsey, a great soloist, Johnny Hodges, who was both?
Well, you know, I think Bird was really a rare musician in that he possessed a lot of qualities, you know. Especially in the dimension of improvisation. You know, he was like a genius in that respect. And an excellent technician on the horn. You know, he covered, you know, really a broad spectrum. And so that's one of the reasons why Charlie Parker really stands out, you know, because he was good in a lot of areas, you know.
I guess that says it.
Yeah.
He had it all.
And it was like a real natural talent, you know.
Yeah.
Very natural, you know.
Let's listen to another one by our guest here on our one-night stand tonight, Charles McPherson. And this, I guess appropriately, is going to come from an album called Bird Lives. You kind of go along with that, We're going to hear one called Bigfoot. We gave you the opportunity to select that one. On what basis did you pick that one out of this album?
Well, that was a Charlie Parker tune, Bigfoot. It's based on the blues theme. And actually, this is Red Rodney's date, and I had the pleasure of making this with him. And, you know, of course, Red Rodney was affiliated with Charlie Parker during the early 50s. He was Charlie Parker's trumpet player.
What an appropriate time in the program, then, to be playing this.
That's right.
We'll hear Bigfoot in just a moment. I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, the famous theme song of the Tommy Dorsey Band. You remember Tommy Dorsey's big band of the 30s and 40s and the 50s. Well, on Saturday, June 14th, you'll hear it all over again with the Tommy Dorsey Band led by a brilliant trombonist saxophonist named Murray McEachern. The band will bring Tommy Dorsey's music of three decades alive for your dancing pleasure at Founders Plaza in East Hartford, presented this year in cooperation with the East Hartford Bicentennial Commission to celebrate the 40s era during this bicentennial year. You'll dance to real Dorsey hits. Sleepy Lagoon, This Love of Mine, I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, and your guest MC will be Arnold Dean at your service. The Champagne Hour starts at 8 p.m. Dancing begins at 9. Tickets are $20 per couple. Singles are invited, too. Group tables are available. For reservations, write the Lions Club Charity Ball, Box 131, East Hartford, Connecticut, 06108. Or, if you'd like, you may call 289-7032. The Tommy Dorsey Band, Saturday, June 14th. Thank you. recording. It's called Bigfoot. And who was along with Charles McPherson in that recording?
Okay, it was Sam Jones on bass, Roy Brooks on drums, another Detroiter, and Barry Harris on piano, and of course Red Rodney on trumpet.
Charles McPherson is our guest tonight on a one-night stand with the big bands. Incidentally, in case you've noticed a departure from our regular spirit of music, we're playing the sounds of the 70s, some jazz, and some big band sounds on tonight's one-night stand. Our next program will be approximately 1 month from now, Thursday, June 5th, from 9:05 until 10. And on that one, we will return to more traditional sounds, as our guest will be Billy Butterfield, a brilliant trumpeter with Artie Shaw and Benny Goodman. He played just about everybody at one time or another over the years. He made that classic Artie Shaw recording of Stardust that starts with a beautiful solo trumpet. That's Billy. And he'll be our guest on the next one-night stand with the big bands, which come to you every month on WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, the sound of service for Southern New England at 1080 on your dial, and we hope you enjoy it. Now let's return to our conversation with tonight's guest, Charles McPherson. And Charles, I have talked with you so much about the past this evening. Let's talk about the future a bit. Let's say there's a youngster who's a fairly gifted musician listening tonight, or the parents of a gifted youngster. Is there any hope of this youngster making music a career?
Well, I wish I could answer that with a yes or a no. It's really a little bit more complicated than that. It can be. It would take some luck. It would take a lot of perseverance on the youngster's part, dedication, tenacity, and all those things, and a real love of music. And if one has these qualities, and as I said before, a bit of luck here and there, I can see how they can make it. From an economic standpoint, you know. Of course, if one wants to be a musician or whatever, you know. If you divorce economics from it, you know, one can, you know. But I mean, in terms of being able to, you know, be a musician and be able to survive and make a living, you know, that's where the luck and things like that come in, you know. And as I said before, if I want to be positive, I can see how there can be good things for jazz in the future, you know.
Where's music heading now, Charles? You know, I hear some of the groups that the kids are very interested in nowadays are much more musical than what they were listening to even just a short couple of years ago.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Fuller, they're bigger, they use a wider variety of instruments, and right. the only word I can describe it with is music is becoming more musical again.
So that's one of the things that I base my positiveness on, is that right there. There are a lot of people now that are gravitating toward instrumentals as opposed to vocals, which is always a good sign in terms of jazz, you know, and things like that. And then a lot of jazz-orientated musicians and orientated groups are, you know, delving into rock now. So what's coming out of that is like a meshing of two different types of music. And what comes out, of course, is like a kind of a mixture of the two. And actually, they're bringing a lot of quality to the rock scene, because usually jazz musicians are usually good musicians. They're good instrumentalists, you know. They're usually pretty well educated in terms of music and things like that. So they are really bringing something to the popular music scene. And aside bringing like talent and knowledge, they're also like probably being responsible for broadening the layman's ear in terms of listening to a deeper music.
You've started to answer my next question. Are people who listen to music becoming more sophisticated over the years?
Well, I'll say this. The better the music, it stands a better chance of cultivating maybe or creating desire in people. You know, because a lot of people... See, that's the only thing about like the politics and things like this, and just the system. Is that the system really doesn't promote arty music. You know what I mean? When I say the system, I mean the powers that be. You know, you can't really hear good classical music or good jazz on AM radio. You know, most it's usually FM. So the public at large are not really exposed to these things. Now, if they were, I'm sure that just the exposure would create a wider audience.
You know? That's very interesting. I think you're absolutely right now that I think about it.
Yeah, sure.
Let's listen to more of Charles McPherson. Not the voice now. Let's listen to the alto saxophone instead. And what selection have you picked for us next?
Ain't that something? Right?
That's
from
something.
The Horizons album, yeah.
Who plays along with you on this one?
Well, we have Cedar Walton on piano, Pat Martino on guitar, Nasir Heifetz on vibes, Walter Booker on bass, Billy Higgins on drums.
Ain't That Something, coming up. The name Mercury itself stands for quality, beauty, and automotive excellence. It has, for many years. But the name can mean even more when you put Moriarty Brothers behind it. Moriarty has been a leading Lincoln Mercury dealer for many years. They know that the dealer is as important as the car. So when you buy a Mercury from Moriarty, you know you're getting all that Mercury has to offer, plus the service you want and need, and a reputation for reliability you can believe in. Stop in at Moriarty Brothers soon and see the complete 1975 Mercury line. What a great and complete line it is, too. The luxuriously rich Marquis Brougham. Ride in that once and you'll be spoiled forever. It is a sensational car. The equally beautiful Marquis, the Monterey, the incredibly sleek Montego, and the all-new addition to the Mercury line, the Mercury Monarch. They're all at Moriarty Brothers, every model, every color, every price range. Whether you want small car convenience, medium car pricing, or big car comfort, Moriarty has it. So visit them soon and see all that's new and exciting for 75 from Lincoln Mercury. That's Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer. Thank you. That's another fine recording with our guest on A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands, Charles McPherson, featured, along with some other great musicians as he lined them up for you beforehand. When you have a day off, Charles, and you're sitting at home in front of a stereo set, what kind of records do you put on?
Well, as I said, you know, I kind of really listen to a lot of classical records, you know. And occasionally I might put on an Art Tatum record, you know. I'm really kind of diversified in what I listen to, you know.
You haven't mentioned any vocalists, though. Do you like any of the vocal groups or individuals at all?
Yeah, I don't really listen to that many vocalists, you know. I listen to Billie Holiday, you know, or something like that. Maybe not as much as I should, I mean, you know, in terms of vocalists. But usually I listen to instrumentalists and, you know, classical records or a few jazz artists, mm-hmm. you know.
Would you want to tell us who they are?
Yeah, Art Tatum, Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of these people I really didn't start to appreciate until later. You know, I can remember when I first started playing music, I thought people like Louis Armstrong and people like that were like old-fashioned, and you know, and things like that. But you know, growing a little older and hopefully a little wiser, you broaden your horizons out. So I really kind of get off on listening to old jazz records, things that I can't hear, you know, out in clubs or something like that. So I really enjoy that. In fact, I listen to more old jazz records and classical records than I do current things.
That's interesting. When you play something yourself that you're very partial to, do you ever come up with a little phrase or a little turn of some sort that you like very much so that when you play this number in the future, you might revert to that?
Oh, yes.
You build and develop on certain things?
Yes, right. That's something that's what happens, you know, playing improvisational music. You know, it's not really 100% improvisational, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 60%. So what happens is playing, say, a given tune, say Stardust, for instance, you'll find that just the harmonic structure of the particular of the tune and your particular instrument and the range that it's in and certain nuances like this will sort of lend itself to certain phrases that you might play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It fits well. So consequently, when you hear a jazz soloist soloing, maybe 50, 60% of what he's doing is like purely improvisational, but a lot of it is like things that he knows that will work.
I've never heard that mentioned before, and I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And it has to be that to a degree, you know, because it can't be all spontaneous like that, you know.
You were talking about Billie Holiday a little bit ago, and I would like very much to hear something from that album that you added strings to the group to perform.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hear Good Morning Heartache. Interesting thing about this, I read someplace that you said you thought it was important to learn the lyrics to a song before you recorded it as instrumentalist.
Right. Oh, that's very important. And I think most artists, you know, good jazz musicians do that because it broadens your understanding of what the tune is, you know. You know, playing a given tune is not just a matter of a mere playing of notes, you know. It's good to know the emotional meaning of what the tune is supposed to be, and this helps you in your playing of it.
Well, let's hear how it comes out then on this album. It's from an album, by the way, called Charles McPherson, Siku Ya Bibi, which is Swahili and means Day of the Lady. I don't know how close I came to pronouncing that correctly. Okay.
Enough.
And it's dedicated, of course, to Billie Holiday.
Billie Holiday, right.
That is not Billie Holiday, as you probably know. We'll hear that in just a moment. First, do you recognize that famous tune? It's I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, and I think everybody knows that. It was the theme song of the late Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, the most versatile of the orchestras of the big band era. I think the most versatile of them all. On Saturday, June 14th, the Tommy Dorsey Band, led by trombonist Murray McEachern, will bring the nostalgia of three decades alive for a wonderful night of dancing at Founders Plaza in East Hartford. It's the East Hartford Lions Club Charity Ball, presented this year in cooperation with the East Hartford Bicentennial Commission to celebrate the swing era. in the bicentennial year. You'll hear all the Dorsey greats, Boogie Woogie, Marie, I'll Never Smile Again, Opus One, and so many others. It will be the pleasure of yours truly, Arnold Dean, to be the guest MC. The Champagne Hour starts at 8 p.m. Dancing begins at 9. Tickets are $20 per couple. Singles are invited too. Group tables are available. For reservations, write the Lions Club Charity Ball, Box 131, East Hartford, Connecticut 06108. Or you may call 289-7032. The Tommy Dorsey Band, Saturday, June 14th. Are you familiar with Murray McEachern? One of the true veterans of the big band era who is equally talented on a variety of instruments, including especially alto saxophone and trombone. Now you try that for a combination. Let's get back to tonight's alto saxophonist, Charles McPherson, now, and that salute to Lady Day, Billie Holiday. Here is Good Morning Heartache. Thank you. it's a beautiful number. It's called Good Morning Heartache, done by Charles McPherson and his group. This has been an exceptionally difficult program to do. Jazz selections traditionally are about twice as long as normal big band records, and Charles McPherson gave us so much interesting conversation that our time has gone all too rapidly. But our thanks to Charles, not only for joining us on this show and for providing great music, but also for picking North Madison, Connecticut as his home. Incidentally, we'll be back in about a month on Thursday, June 5th, with Billy Butterfield, the great trumpeter, as our special guest. In the meantime, remember Dick Bertel and Ed Corcoran with the Golden Age of Radio, Thursday, May 29th, 9:05 till 10, with special guest Joan Fontaine. Tonight's program has been brought to you by Moriarty Brothers, 315 Center Street in Manchester, Connecticut's oldest Lincoln Mercury dealer, now in their 28th year of continuing excellence in sales and service. And by the East Hartford Lions Club, presenting the great Tommy Dorsey Band on June 14th at Founders Plaza in East Hartford. This is Arnold James. Thank you, Charles McPherson. Thanks to all of you for joining us on a one-night stand with the big band.